He gave Cullum a reproachful look that was so un-Roland that it made Eddie grin. No taste to speak of at all. People here actually smoke these? Cullum took the cigarette from Roland's fingers, broke the filter off the end, and gave it back to him. Try it now, he said, and returned his attention to Eddie. So, I got you out of a jam onto other side of the water. Seems like you owe me one. Have they ever won the series? At least up to your time. Eddie's grin faded, and he looked at the old man seriously. I'll tell you if you really want me to, John. But do you? John considered, puffing his pipe. Then he said, I suppose not. No one'd spoil it. Tell you one thing, Eddie said cheerfully. The pills John had given him were kicking in, and he felt cheerful. A little bit, anyway. You don't want to die before 1986. That one's going to be a corker.
Yeah.
Say absolutely true. Then Eddie turned to the gunslinger. What are we going to do about our gunner, Roland? Roland hadn't even thought about it until this moment. All their few worldly possessions, from Eddie's fine new whittling knife purchased in Took's store to Roland's ancient grow bag given to him by his father far on the other side of time's horizon, had been left behind when they came through the door. When they had been blown through the door. The gunslinger assumed their gunner had been left lying in the dirt in front of the East Stoneham store, although he couldn't remember for sure. He'd been too fiercely focused on getting Eddie and himself to safety before the fellow with the long-sighted rifle blew their heads off. It hurt to think of all those companions of the long trek burned up in the fire that had undoubtedly claimed the store by now. It hurt even worse to think of them in the hands of Jack Andolini. Roland had a brief but vivid picture of his grow bag hanging on Andolini's belt like a baggy pouch or an enemy's scalp, and winced. Roland, what about our...
We have our guns. And that's all the gunner we need, Roland said, more roughly than he had intended. Jake has the choo-choo book, and I can make another compass should we need one. Otherwise...
But if you're talking about your good sonny, I can ask some questions about him when the time comes, Cullum said. But for the time being, I think your friend's right. Eddie knew his friend was right. His friend was almost always right, which was one of the few things Eddie still hated about him. He wanted his gunner, goddammit, and not just for the one clean pair of jeans and the two clean shirts, not for extra ammo or the whittling knife, fine as it was. There had been a lock of Susanna's hair in his leather swag bag, and it had still carried a faint whiff of her smell. That was what he missed. But done was done. John, he said, what day is this? The man's bristly gray eyebrows went up. You serious? And when Eddie nodded, 9th of July, year of our Lord 1977. Eddie made a soundless whistling noise through his pursed lips. Roland, the last stub of the dromedary cigarette smoldering between his fingers, had gone to the window for a look-see. Nothing behind the house but trees, and a few seductive blue winks from what Cullum called the Keewatin. But that pillar of black smoke still rose in the sky as if to remind him that any sense of peace he might feel in these surroundings was only an illusion. They had to get out of here. And no matter how terribly afraid he was for Susanna Dean, now that they were here, they had to find Calvin Tower and finish their business with him. And they'd have to do it quickly because... As if reading his mind and finishing his thought, Eddie said, Roland, it's speeding up. Time on this side is speeding up. I know. It means that whatever we do, we have to get it right the first time, because in this world you can never come back earlier. There are no do-overs. Roland knew that, too. 2. The man we're looking for is from New York City, Eddie told John Cullum.
Yeah, plenty of those around in the summertime.
His name's Calvin Tower. He's with a friend of his named Aaron Deepnow. Cullum opened the glass case with the baseballs inside, took out one with Carl Yastrzemski written across the sweet spot in that weirdly perfect script of which only professional athletes seem capable. In Eddie's experience, it was the spelling that gave most of them problems. and began to toss it from hand to hand. Folks from away really pile in once June comes. You know that, don't you?
I do, Eddie said, feeling hopeless already.